system working as it's designed to work, which is good. You want there to be, you know, accountability, watchdog, all that stuff. IC360, integrity, very important.
Manfred just says, I'm just interested in your take on this. He said, Manfred, the commissioner, said there are certain types of bets that strike me as unnecessarily and particularly vulnerable. I know there was a lot of sports betting, tons of it that went on illegally, and we had no idea what threats there were to the integrity of the play because it was all not transparent.
Right.
I firmly believe that the transparency and monitoring that we have in place now as a result of the legalization of the partnerships that we've made puts us in a better position to protect baseball than we were in before. Is this one of those bets that what he would say is unnecessary? Like, we've talked about college props,
yes,
right?
I'm sure he is.
Okay.
Yes. Look, I am, when it comes, like, I don't bet stuff like that. Like, I don't bet pitches. I don't bet, college. You can't bet college props, in Tennessee.
Can I bet pitch for pitch?
Yes.
On FanDuel and DK.
Wow.
Yes, of course.
Did you know that baseball?
No,
man?
I've gotten
I
off
didn't
that.
Either. I didn't.
Probably
you're still off. Okay.
But I will tell you, that is an easy one. It's like, because in high school, you know what preps do when they're getting a velo test? They throw as hard as they can a ball, and because it's one pitch, and
right.
You get seven,
right.
Right, or six, or whatever, or three, if guys swing. My point is, man, that is one that if I'm the commissioner, and that their commissioner's an idiot sometimes. Like, I think that one's got to go, Jason, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, I said,
throwable.
I just don't think it's that much of a problem. Like,
because of the money that's involved, that you can't gamble the big numbers on it.
That's right.
I got you.
You just can't.
What's the most I could gamble on a one-off pitch, you think, guessing? 10
like,
grand?
No, not even
not
close.
Even that. Like, $100.
Yeah, $500.
I got you.
Would be the best. And that's just not worth. That's not worth,
it's,
you know,
piss compared
a guy
to these max bets.
Yeah, I mean, what's Emmanuel Clase making? He's got to be making a ton of money.
Yeah,
that's my guess. I mean, Ortiz, I don't know.
I would think,
but this guy is a 3-time All-Star. You know, this guy signed a 5-year, $200 million contract, right? $20 million, sorry, 5-year, $20 million. But still, that's $4 million a year, man. All right, he pitches 4 pitches a game, so
that's Clase.
Yeah.
What's Ortiz make?
Let's see.
He's a starter. He's the one that was already under investigation, and he's the one that threw the pitches against the Mariners
right.
and the Cardinals.
Luis Ortiz, this is a little different. Luis Ortiz on a 1-year, $782,000 contract.
There's some more. Okay.
So he
and it's his pitches against the Cardinals and the Mariners that are being looked into.
Right.
I don't know that we have the pitches
on
yet Clase. That Clase threw.
It's possible that Clase is being
into.
Investigated for knowing about Ortiz's pitches
okay.
and not saying so. I mean, because
I was using him, and he's three. You know, he's reliever Mariano Rivera award winner. He's only 27, 3-time All Star. Why would this guy do? You know,
right?
Why would he be involved? The pitches though are those of Luis Ortiz that we're looking into so far. Perhaps Clase's involvement was something different,
right?
But yeah, he's a reliever. They're
yes.
talking about second and third inning pitches here. Those are Ortiz's.
People will use this to decry sports betting and its existence. But honestly, to Rob Manfred's point, the fact that there are groups now that can catch these
went
things, that
right.
didn't. There were no, you know,
there were no
procedures in place
right.
prior.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, I'm sure that in the 80s and 90s, dude, that was going on all the time.
Yeah.
No one to see the flag
no one
pop
to know.
Up.
No,
you
yeah.
don't have the computer
yeah,
stuff
because
work,
you could only bet in Las Vegas,
there.
Bro. Right. Like, or you were doing it with a bookie. You know, that's just, a bookie doesn't have that back-end data. Like, and you're not even,
right.
you can't even bet on stuff like that at a PPH, as they're called. So, yeah, no, I think this is a good sign for the system that it's catching things like this. I also don't really think that anything is going on nefariously. I mean, maybe a guy on a 1-year deal would be more prone to working with a betting group. That is for sure. The idea that Clase making $4 million a year would do it with a 5-year deal, stable as hell, by the way, he's underpaid.
I said he was third in AL Cy Young voting
yeah.
last year as a reliever.
He's underpaid.
Only making $4 or $5 million a year is crazy.
How they got that done is yeah. I can't believe that.
And as you said, 3-time All-Star, 2-time winner of the Mariano Award.
Yeah.
That's best relief pick.
And he's got a club option after next year.
Well, he's getting absolutely robbed.
Yeah. I mean,
in terms of salary, feels like.
What a deal, man. What a deal. Now, I don't know. You know,
and he's only 27 years old.
Arbitration is like, you know, a weird thing. I don't know. But yeah, man. Congrats to the Guardians for getting that deal done. I don't think he was involved, but we shall see. I guess the investigation will tell us. And I could look stupid at the end of this when it's over, but I don't think nothing ever happens. Okay, that's just a good rule of thumb. Nothing ever happens. All right, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers in. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you trying to find me? ESPN. Blacktop Moving has changed and moving in the city of Memphis. They're the best. I am so glad I used them. I've used them twice. If I ever move again, I'll certainly use them. You can use them whether you're moving around Memphis, out of Memphis, cross town, cross country, home, apartment, condo. They are the best. It's the only moving company I will ever use. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They're pros. They've been a household name around the U.S. since 2012. They're A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're legit. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Blacktown Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis.
Typically on Mondays around this time, I pull out my big green egg. I pat out some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club. I throw them all in that grill. I season these a little differently, though. I season these with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers. Good news coming out of Boulder, Colorado. That is where Deion Sanders is at a press conference, and the University of Colorado football coach has announced that he's undergone surgery to remove his bladder after doctors have discovered a tumor there. And since the surgery, no traces of cancer, he's going to coach. Going to continue to coach over at Colorado. And some of the things that he said, John and I were just talking about it last hour, that you've got to have a great deal of respect for. He's still got quite the battle in front of him. As he says, can't control his bladder. But listen to Deion Sanders. We've got some of the audio here, and you can guess some of the reasons why we're giving him a respect burger.
I depend on depend, you know, if you know what I mean. I truly depend on depend. Like, I cannot control my bladder. So I get up to go to the bathroom already 4 or 5 times a night. But then I'm sitting up there, waking up, you know, like my grandson. We're in the same thing. You know, we got the same problem right now. We're going through the same trials and tribulations. We're trying to see who has the heaviest bag at the end of the night. Like, it's ridiculous. But I'm making a joke out of it. But it's real. Like, it is real. It is real. It is real. So if you see porta potty on the sideline, it's real. Okay. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to see it. You're going to see the practice. You're going to see one because it is unbelievable. Like, dozing off and waking up. On first thing, I'm grabbing my crotch to see if I peed on myself. And it's just totally different. And I know there's a lot of people out there going through what I'm going through and dealing with what I'm dealing with. And let's stop being ashamed of it. And let's deal with it. And let's deal with it head on. And
That's a word right there that Deion just delivered. And when I say a word, I mean a message for all of us that we can certainly all relate to. Let's stop being ashamed of it. I don't know today whether it's going to be some African-American man. Maybe it's a white man. Maybe it's a man, period. Maybe it's a woman that listens to Deion, and maybe they're dealing with something health-wise. I say us men particularly because we have the hardest time just swallowing our pride.
Yep.
And going in to see the doctor, even when we know we're hurting, when we know we should. There's going to be some man that Deion inspires with this today, with his story, talking about this, basically, you know, taking the, you know, the curtain off of this and talking about, you know, having to wear a depend. A grown man, 57 years old, in this case, he's going to inspire some man and say, you know what? If Deion's going to go out there and coach with his, you know, bag and everything else, diaper on, man, I can get my butt up off, stop feeling sorry for myself, and go in and see this doctor because I know that my body needs it. He also, and I'll say this again as a, you know, a deacon in my church, whether it's someone else's faith, he's going to strengthen because coming through all this, John, what'd you say the number was, number of surgeries he's had since 21? It was in the double digits.
14, I believe.
Coming through all this, the fact that he is still praising God, the fact that he is still giving all the glory to God through everything he's been in and not doing what we mentioned last hour that he could be doing, the woe is me, the why is this happening, or stepping away
Right. Saying, you know what, I don't want to be on that sideline with those young men that I was once one of them and could do the things they could do. I don't want to be on there at 57 with, you know, having bladder issues and having to go to the bathroom. This guy's continuing on, trudging on. That's gonna increase someone else's faith. When you're giving up all that glory to God and still saying that you're a blessed man, again, fewer toes than most have got. You know, the fact that you're still getting up and going to work and praising God for that, you're going to increase somebody else's faith as well. So whether it's, again, a trip to the doctor's office or increasing someone else's faith, because you do that, bro, I mean, in terms of what they can come through, you know, the ripple effects that come with that, it gives me goosebumps thinking about. And so all respect to Deion Sanders for continuing to, again, push through this, but more so for pulling back the curtain on what he's having to go through to do it. And continuing to want to, again, glorify God through it all. Nothing but respect for Deion Sanders, that the fact that he's going to keep pushing, the fact that he's going to continue surviving like he is, because clearly there's a serious issue. Cancer, in this case, of the bladder, could easily have taken him out. He's not letting it take him out, and he's giving God all the glory to it, more power to him. All right, moving on. Friend of the show, and we're hoping he has big things coming up, but he's one of several Memphis products that did camps, football camps here locally that I wanted to shout out. Calvin Austin was a guy that we had on, a good friend of the show, had on a couple of weeks back before he made it out to Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. The former Harding Academy wide receiver, former Memphis wide receiver, was he, along with Omari Thomas, former Briarcrest standout, Ball standout, now with the New Orleans Saints. And then we saw our man Anthony Miller.
Yep,
another guy that we've had on the show before, former Bears wide receiver, I believe, now is with Baltimore. All of those guys did camps for locals. We've talked about that. You know, whether it's been these professional athletes that have gone on to great careers, we've always hoped when we've talked about them that they would be, you know, once they've gone on to the careers, they would give back, do things for those, you know, and a lot of times, whether it's for those schools, for those communities that they came out of, here's three guys that were still thinking about those things. Even for Calvin Austin, could just be thinking about himself. Going into a contract year, he's got Aaron Rodgers, could be thinking, okay, what's next for me? Still wanting to put on for the kids here, always going to hold that up. And then here individually, a guy, not an athlete necessarily along the lines that we typically talk about here, he's just like you and me. In this case, works for the city of Bartlett. His name is Brandon Williams, and he took our advice. He's actually a Facebook friend of yours, I saw.
Oh, okay.
Brandon Williams, again, works for the city of Bartlett, got engaged recently, here recently, and he did it very smartly, John. He went to Robert Irwin Jewelers. He saw our man Howie. He took advantage, it looks like, of the summer of 1,000 engagement sales. And more importantly, like we tell you, when you go see Howie over Robert Irwin Jewelers, he got the yes. Great photos in his Facebook post. And again, we want to shout out Brandon Williams. A congratulations and a respect burger to you, sir, on how you pulled it off. The fact that you went to Howie, it's something we remind folks of all the time to do. And the fact that you executed it and got the yes. Respect burger to you, Brother Williams.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, again, the summer of 1,000 engagements, it does not last forever. Mm-mm. It ends this Saturday. So Brandon was very, very sharp to go and get this taken care of. This is your last chance. You cannot wait. Save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. Any purchase of $9.99 or more, you get free diamond stud earrings. I wonder if he got the diamond stud earrings. Any purchase of $24.99 or more, I assume it cost a little more than $24.99 or more, that rock, right? So Brandon got that Yeti Tundra, you know?
Yes, he did.
Take care of the woman. Take care of yourself. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, again, last week, to save up to 40% off diamond jewelry during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 engagement sale. See store for complete details. Bigger, better diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations or online, rijewelers.com. Earlier today, Jeff Calkins had a pressure cook. What did you call it? The pressure bus pipes list?
The pressure bus pipes list.
And on that list was, it was weird. It was just two people. It was Penny Hardaway and Alex Simmons. I mean, unbelievable. Who was on that list? But no, I'm just kidding. It was a lot more than that. We'll talk about that list. Get his thoughts on it. Who's under the most pressure in Memphis sports in 2025? Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. I was listening to the Jeff Calkins show earlier this morning on my drive in, as I do. And I was, I guess I don't know if I was coming in at the beginning of the segment. I don't know if, when I was coming in, but he was talking about Memphis people, athletes, coaches, Memphis sports persons who were under the most pressure in 2025. And you led with Alex Simmons. I found that peculiar. I didn't think she'd be the first name.
I didn't lead with Alex Simmons.
I thought you led with her. I thought she was number one.
No, you obviously didn't listen to the whole show. We had a list of 10.
The whole show.
It wasn't the whole show. It was one segment. We talked about this, and we each had a list of 10 people who – here's the truth. So the whole – it started because Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes mine, was doing a what quarterbacks are under the most pressure. And I'll be honest. This to me seems like a sports talk in July kind of – like hell can tell me who's under more pressure? Anthony Richardson or Trevor Lawrence or Lamar? Right. Like, there's different kinds of pressure.
They're all under pressure.
I guess Lamar is to win a Super Bowl, but, like, he's going to be Lamar no matter what. He's going to be a great player with two MVPs, right?
Right.
To me, Anthony Richardson's under – but whatever. It's all C.J. Stroud pressure.
Look, it's getting it's getting you worked up, man. Clearly was genius.
No, the whole topic always seems to me, like, a little ridiculous, right? It's fine, but – so I said, well, let's just do Memphis sports pressure, right? All of Memphis sports, who's under the most pressure? And we're talking about players, coaches, administrators, anyone. And I did have on my list, like, okay, the pressure that Ed Scott is under is different than the pressure that Alex Simmons, who's the women's basketball coach, for people who don't know, is under. Is that right? Like, but in a sense, like, I think Alex Simmons, she's been coached now for 2 years. Is that true? I think, right?
I think that was year two.
And I'm reasonably, I know nothing about the situation there. And I know Ed Scott, actually, when I talked about her at one point, said, you know, it was his first hire. I believe in you, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was the old, you know. But, like, she's not under pressure that people are going to be talking about it in sports talk radio, but I do believe if she has another bad year, she'll probably be fired, right? Like, there's no reason we shouldn't be better at women's basketball, and women's basketball matters more now. We're good at women's soccer. We're good at men's soccer. We're good at tennis. Let's be good at women's basketball. So she made my list of 10, but no, she didn't. I did not lead with her. Weirdly enough, we both, Jeffrey and I, came up on a list totally separately. And the lists were somewhat different. I didn't have Jaren on my list at all. I think it was an omission, honestly. We both really had – I mean, I had Paul Young and Jason Wexler at the top. He had Paul Young at the top. Yeah. But in the end, we both went the same place with this, you know?
Yeah.
That the pressure is on to get the Grizzlies' lease done. That's the most pressure. You'd hate to be the mayor who didn't get it done. But, you know, it is interesting. Like, who would you – I think I had maybe – I had Penny and Ryan right next to each other at, like, 4 and 5 – at 5 and 6, I think. He had Ryan under – I think he had Ryan at 4 and Penny at 10. Who's under more pressure, Penny or Ryan, or neither? You tell me.
I don't know. I think neither, really.
I think if it means that they're going to be fired, I think it's neither. Like, if that's what your definition of pressure is,
I don't think Penny's under any pressure other than just, like, stop getting us, you know, stop letting, you know, or stop having the NCAA in here so often.
Well, but, I mean, the argument from, I had Penny at 9 or 10. He had him higher, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think. And in the end, I guess the argument for Penny is under some pressure is it's been now 8 years. He's going on year 8. Maybe win a second NCAA tournament game. Like,
sure, but
he came in here. Like, isn't that a certain amount?
I mean, who's applying it? Who, like, I would ask, like, someone has to apply the pressure. So who would be applying the pressure in this scenario?
No one's applying the pressure to Lamar. It's legacy pressure. It's legacy.
Yeah, that's media talk. That's media talk. That's what you're doing. You're doing media talk. You know, I just don't think, like, when I think pressure, I think, like, you will lose your job if you don't perform. You know, that's the kind of pressure.
Okay,
I
think Ed Scott is under pressure.
I think Ed Scott's totally under pressure.
No, he's under no. You're going to lose your job.
Well, until he is, he's not. Until he is,
no. Well, we're talking about this year. Who this year is under pressure? Yeah. And literally, No one believes he's going to get them into another conference. He won't. No one has ever been held accountable for not getting them into another conference.
No, that's true.
Like, literally. If that's the only kind of pressure, you're going to lose your job if you fail. He's under no pressure. None. Zero. There's all kinds of pressure, though.
He may want to get another job, right? He may want to move up in the corporate world, you know? It's just a different spin on that.
I think there are different kinds of pressure, and Penny is feeling his own kind of pressure.
But it's all internal. It's not external.
But he was low on my list.
My number one would be John Morant.
I think Ja was in each of our top fives.
Because it's time for Ja to grow up. It's time for Ja to be available. It's time for him to show that he can really be the guy that takes his franchise somewhere
That's
consistently.
True.
And if he doesn't, I suspect the trade would become viable. So I do think that in terms of him remaining a Memphis Grizzlies, I think he would be the number one guy. I mean, Paul Young obviously, but you know that decision is honestly so much bigger than him. It's like getting into like another conference. Like, I'm not going to put that on Ed Scott.
No, the decision is this: deliver a safe city that you need to.
And you think the mayor is responsible for that? You think the mayor can snap his finger and then all of a sudden no more crime in Memphis?
I think snapping the finger is what'll do it. Honestly, no one has ever thought about snapping. Anyway, here's the thing with Ja. The argument against Ja is. So Ja doesn't stay healthy or doesn't. So what? He's got $100 million, $200 million. Right, he's still wildly famous. He's and the worst thing that you're telling me he's going to be traded from the Grizzlies. Oh, that's terrifying.
It's not going to be a contender. No. It ain't going to be a contender. A contender ain't trading for Ja.
I do agree he's under pressure, and the pressure is. But it's the same kind of like not lose your job pressure. Really, it's. I want to be considered one of the 15 best players in this league. And it is time for me to stay healthy, to perform, to lead this franchise, to be the star that I was supposed to have been 3 years ago. And I think there is real pressure on Ja to be that. And so he was very clearly in both of our top fives. I think Jaren, who I left out of mine, it's the pressure to live up to the deal. Right, like
he will never do that. He will never do that. So I don't. It's just not a consideration. Like I think Jaren actually has he has an amazing setup in that he is
consistent.
He's a consistent underperformer in the postseason.
He cares about fashion anyway. You know,
no question. Like Jaren really did it the right way. You know, he was a good pick at four. Like he was a very good pick at four. But he has sort of cemented himself as the second option, the clear second option in Memphis, and he's already been a consistent underperformer in the playoffs, and he has this massive contract, and like he just never gets criticism whatsoever, and he never will,
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. He gets criticism. He gets a lot of criticism.
You have never, ever, ever, and you nor will you ever write a column criticizing his postseason performance. It will never happen.
I hear him criticized all the time. For rebounding. Doesn't rebound. Rebound. I mean, can't believe it.
Yeah,
he disappears
right. We say that every
rebound.
And then nothing changes and we move on to the next thing.
And we pay him.
And then we just pay him.
He's been criticized a lot, actually. I think Jaren has. Not as much as Powell, but for the same reasons that he's a sort of a, you know, not he's a big who doesn't, you know,
like Jaren is just like Jaren is a piece of interpretive art. Where the people that love, like to the people who love him, he can do legitimately no wrong.
He's not expected. Unlike Ja, it's nice because he's not expected to be a superstar. Like he's good, right. Just being excellent is good enough. Like no one's like, oh well, you have to be a superstar. You got to prove you're one of the 15 best players in the league.
That's right.
No one puts that on Jaren. They put that on Ja. I agree completely. And right now, Jaren makes more money than Ja.
That's right.
And yet the expectations are higher for Ja than for Jaren.
And they always will be. I mean, that's just the way it works.
I didn't have Jaren on my list.
Well, I think that was correct because we don't put pressure on Jaren.
He had Cedric Coward on his list.
No, that's a Zach Kleiman production.
Like,
that's
no,
Zach.
That's exactly right. I said to the extent that there's pressure on him, it's pressure on Zach to be right.
I think Zach. You can make a case for Zach being number one. Honestly,
Zach's my one. And I'm putting Coward. I'm putting Isolo on Zach.
Yep.
See, Isolo's on Zach's back. Right.
He's got a lot of he's got a lot of bets out there, doesn't he? Zach Klein's got a lot of pending bets.
Yes, but here's what the thing is. The reason he was on both of our lists, but he wasn't one on either of our lists. The reason is that by doing what he did, well, first of all, player and media perception of him, I think, is different than owner perception of him. Like I've never thought he was actually under real threat to be fired. I think, and I don't think he has been. And then what he's done this off season is he's reset the team's timeline. And by doing that, he sort of reset his own timeline. Now, he does have some bets out there. So if Desmond Bane is going crazy and Cedric Coward looks like a bust and whatever else, then you might start to reevaluate. I actually think the way he negotiated the offseason took some of the pressure off of him, because he's like, yeah, we don't need to win this year. We're just kind of try to win in the next. He didn't say that exactly, but that's the implication. He's now got a new 2 or 3 year window. But if Isolo's bad, if Coward's bad, and if Dez is blowing up, it'll look bad up for Zach Klein.
Or if Josh stops believing in him too, right? That has to be on
that
there
too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's and then, you know, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't have led with Alex Simmons like you did, but I do appreciate sort of, you know, because
I didn't lead with her.
Oh, you did not lead with her.
What I thought, Jeff, was it was a proper acknowledgement of women's sports and the growth of it. And
sure. That's right.
Yes.
Jeff said, "Oh, pay you what I owe you. How about that? How about this?
That's right.
You're on the hot seat.
Produce what? Yeah.
He's right about the job.
Yeah.
Now, what you didn't talk about is that Melissa had 8 losing seasons in 12.
Never made a pressure bust pipes list.
It took 12 years.
She's out of there.
12 years, bro.
She's out of there because that's before women's basketball became what it is.
Well,
now.
That is true. I mean,
another
he makes
fair
a point.
Statement.
He makes a point.
Another fair one.
And the point I made is, like, listen, I know a lot of people will criticize because you led with her, but we don't know what her NIL budget is.
Listen to this train, man. Listen to this train.
Coming to get
Alex Simmons right here.
That you ran right over her with it. That train on the Calkins show from 9 to 11.
That's what Jeffrey said. Jeffrey said is the problem is that women's basketball is a product of universities that really care as a vanity project about women's basketball, pay for women's basketball, and they win. And if you don't have a big NIL budget, which he's going to presume that Memphis doesn't, you can't really compete. So that was his argument. He did not have her on the list, and that was his argument against
Right, right. No, I mean, I honestly, the argument that I made is that she probably does have a decent NIL budget with the FedEx stuff. I mean, I don't think that those programs in the American on the women's side have to be that invested in.
Right.
You know, so to have any, if she has $250,000 to play with, she's probably got more than half the league at minimum. But yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I did appreciate the conversation. I truly did. And, you know, you don't feel pressure anymore, do you? What pressure do you feel?
I feel pressure every day. Yeah. Like right now, it's been a while since I've written a column. I told you this. Like I go through life wondering, have I been productive enough this week? And I always feel like I've been doing this here for nearly 30 years in Memphis. And if I have a week where I haven't written good columns or where I haven't whatever, I feel like I'm a worthless human being. Like that's still where I am, right? And so I feel that all the time. Today I'm kind of floundering around, like, what am I writing? And I have some ideas what I'm going to write about next. But yeah, so yeah, I feel it's the old, it's totally cliche. This is what Ryan says. We put more pressure on ourselves than anyone would ever put it. And that's, you know, and it is cliche, but that's actually true.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever calls me up from the Daily Memphian and says, where the hell are you? Where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you been? Are you earning your money today?
Right.
Where this week, please? But I feel it all the time, you know?
It is a little bit of a
talk about on the radio.
Well, it is a little bit of a sickness. You know,
you're like Dion, and you just keep pushing. You just keep coming back.
I've never been compared to Dion before. That's a new one. Primetime Calkins. Yeah.
Well, that's
no,
what I'm like. I think his sort of openness about wearing diapers should make you feel better about you having to do it.
So I was literally listening to your show on the way to a meeting, and you were talking about how Dion's going to, you know, whatever with the doctors, whatever, in 30 minutes. And it was 15 minutes by the time I had to go into the meeting. I just left the meeting So what did he say? I have no idea. I haven't even checked the transom to see
what the news was. He had bladder cancer. He had a cancerous tumor in his bladder. It's not clear whether it was the tumor or the entire bladder that was removed.
I think the bladder, ESPN wrote.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The bladder was removed, and now he says he cannot control his bladder and that there will be porta-potties in practice and during games and that, you know, he depends on his depends. But he says we should stop basically stigmatizing this and we should not be ashamed of it. And I said, you know, with Jason, really? I admire the fact that because Prime is the epitome of cool, you know, when you think about, you know, the Jerry Curl and the Shades and the Prime and like, like this
Peeing
dude
your pants isn't the epitome of cool.
That's right. It's a little
urinary incontinence.
It's a little emasculating. Yeah. You know, and here's Dion saying, oh, man, this is the way it is. I got to do it. You know, let's laugh about it.
Is this for the rest of his life?
It's not clear. It seems likely, though.
Yes, he will have no bladder for the rest of his life. And I don't.
He didn't get the Neo bladder
for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So he's
to continue to coach.
Yeah.
With his sons gone now too, Jeff.
Good for him.
So, yeah, that's what we said. Respect Burger to Dion.
He had every excuse for step aside.
100%.
Respect Burger.
100%. Well, Jeff, man, thanks for doing this.
Many respect burgers to you as well, sir.
And again, I'm sorry for inaccurately saying you led with Alex.
Next time, listen to the whole show.
All right, okay, the whole show. Thanks. He is Jeff Calkins, host of the Jeff Calkins show. He was very upset that I did.
Well, you just
missed. I lied. I did lie.
Just lying.
But it's fun to do that, isn't it? I mean, it's fun to like think about the idea that he led with Alex Simmons as number one under the most pressure. I mean, this is the most she's been talked about since she got the job. You know, so I don't know. Maybe all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, maybe so.
Who's to say? Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I think I would like to amend my number one on this. It'd be Zach Kleiman. It would not be Ja. I think Ja's top three. Yeah.
Now you see it.
Yeah, because Zach Kleiman has too many things going.
We can say just because we don't hear from Para about Zach Kleiman's performance that it doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure on him. We don't know that Ja's going to stay bought in to Zach Kleiman. You know what I'm saying? There's that. There's Coward.
Exactly.
And then there's Isola. And the fact that maybe you wasted an entire season last year in terms of, okay, well, if you wanted Isola, you move on from Taylor Jenkins.
Exactly.
You know, you pitted those two. You kind of wasted a year there. A lot of pressure on Zach Kleiman as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, man. Because Isola's got to hit. Coward's got to hit. The retooling has got to hit. KCP and those guys, they got to be good, you know?
Yes. We like the Phoenix pick he acquired.
Right.
You got to do something with it.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of pending bets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to win. Hard to win all those.
And you were at two. It was about getting it over the hump.
That's
right. You were that two seed for a couple of years. You were right there to start this year. Well, you know, if you just got it to the hump and can't get it over, that's going to come back on you, and you're going to be that's going to sort of be the bar now.
Yeah.
You know, can you get back to that and over it? That's where you got to get to.
That's right.
Well, a lot of things riding on it.
Absolutely. Anyway, good stuff there from Jeff Calkins. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap this up here on a Monday. Stick around. Jason and John on China FM ESPN. Every single NFL person is tweeting this news. I mean, I guess it's big, but Courtland Sutton and the Denver Broncos have agreed to a 4-year, $92 million contract extension in Denver. Of course, he's 29 years old. This is a receiver, Jason, that I've just never really thought a lot of. I mean, I know that like NFL, he's kind of like the Jaren of NFL receivers, man. Like the nerds love him. They, you know, he is consistently held up as one of the better receivers in the game. And it's just like, I've just never been that blown away by him. You know, I guess last year was probably one of his better years there, had 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, but you know, $92 million, you know, over 4 years, feels like a lot. It was like a lot to me for a guy that's only been a 1,000-yard guy 2 times in his career. It seems like a lot.
Plays, though. Doesn't miss time.
He does play.
17, 15, 16, 17 are games played the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So he rarely misses time.
So what's 92 divided by 4? That's going to put you at 23. What did Jamar Chase get? He got 4 years, $161 million, so that's about 40.
Yeah, not close.
And that's fair because they're not close.
He is 6'4", 216, plays all the time.
Right.
Yeah. And you're putting him in a $20-something million deal? Yeah.
Amon-Ra signed a 4-year, $120 million contract. So what's that come out to?
4 years, 120?
Yeah.
30.
Okay. I think Cortland is $30 million difference. Okay, that's fine.
He's only to your point. He's only gone over 1,000 twice.
Right.
So it sounds about right. I'm not. You know. I it's their money.
Yeah.
They're not breaking the bank for this dude though.
Yeah.
Nor should they.
I mean, it's a favorite target of Bo.
Bo.
So that's important.
Older guy, 29, 30, but again, plays.
That's
right. You're comfortable with him, and like you said, you got him around Bo.
Yeah.
You're a young guy, so it just makes sense to keep Bo comfortable.
Yeah. They're trying to take that next step. You know, they're trying to. I mean, they made the playoffs last year, got absolutely handled by Buffalo, but they're trying to make that next step. And you know, I think the idea is like, hey, let's keep everybody. You know, let's keep our favorite targets of Bo around. Let's continue to let him build that rapport. I mean, Denver could have a great year. I mean, they could come back and do it again. I mean, obviously, every single year in that division is going to be tough. But I mean, I think I would definitely have them above the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, it should be number two. Based on how good that defense is supposed to be, definitely best in the NFL, and their offensive line is supposed to be fantastic as well. So two of the best lines in football right there on one team. You got one of the best offensive coaches we've seen in terms of Sean Payton. Now, he did that with Drew Brees, but he showed us last year. He can put together a system for Bo Nix, make him look like an NFL quarterback, not just a winning NFL quarterback leading you to the playoffs.
Right.
I would add all that up to, yes, a second place position behind KC and ahead of Harbaugh and the Chargers, and then you got the kissing Raiders. If you kiss, you're out. Apparently.
Well, if you kiss a teammate,
you kiss a man on the head. You say, you know.
Well, Christian Wilk.
God bless you.
Yeah, let's not kiss. Let's just not. You know,
if you he didn't kiss him on the lips, bro.
Well, I think it's like it's Max. He kissed Max Crosby on the head. You can't do that. You know, we just finished celebrating Juneteenth.
What? Because Crosby's what, the king or something? You're supposed to kiss his hand?
Me at all. How about that? How about you respect me as a man? Don't kiss me on the head.
There are plenty of dudes out of brotherly love over the years. It would have had to been the way this was done.
It clearly was not reciprocated.
You embarrassed Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Right, for him to take it to HR. Because dudes have, there been brotherly love enough to kiss a dude, I'm sure, right? And probably.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. So I think that's.
I don't think it's happening every day.
No, I mean, I don't know. But I think this guy has such a reputation. Like, even going back to Clemson, like, he's a freaky player. He's just freaky. You know,
just be careful with how you phrase that.
Yeah, he's just a freaky guy, and I think there. Plus, he wasn't playing, so it's like we're not putting up with your hijinks, man. We're not putting up with your shenanigans. You're not even playing. You're not even healthy.
But this doesn't help your story about trying to keep his money. You're trying to make a case that he didn't rehab the injury, right? If you're the Raiders and wanted to keep this money that you paid him,
yeah,
you're trying to make a case that he plays too much and didn't rehab. Not necessarily that. You know, this locker room might have turned on him.
Right.
And maybe that's just as much of the reason you're pushing him out as anything else. So I don't know that they helped themselves with this story getting out, but Schefter said he talked to folks in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's
very strange.
We got to get everybody in there on the same page, you know, if we're going to get all that money back.
Y'all got leaks.
Yeah.
Just it doesn't look like Brady's just, you know, running a tight ship yet. Mm-hmm. Got to tighten up a little bit.
We got to get got to drain the swamp, man. We got to get all the old stuff out.
Kissing.
You know, get to the new regime. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.